This is The Christian Working Woman with Mary Lohman, and I'm Julie Bastide. For years, Mary has been broadcasting the good news that God's Word is applicable to every issue we face in life, and most certainly to those workplace issues. Actually, all Christ followers are workplace Christians when you think about it. Whether you're a woman or a man, work in an office or your home, go to a hospital or a factory each day, whatever your occupation or gender, we're glad you've joined us for Mary's message today. I think you'll find it a very practical message based firmly on God's Word, designed to give you encouragement and hope as you face the various challenges of your workplace. Mary, you've titled this message, 10 Important Life Lessons.
That's right, Julie. One of the benefits, you know, of adding years to your life, and I've certainly been doing that, is that you really do learn a few things along the way. Life lessons, if you will. So I just thought I would pass along 10 of these lessons that may be helpful to our listeners. It's always smart to learn from other people's mistakes rather than your own, if possible, you know?
Yeah, that's so true. Life does have a way of teaching us lessons we can't learn in school.
Right.
So we're ready to hear some of those lessons you've learned.
What has life taught you? I've known people who went through life and never ever seemed to learn life lessons. They just made the same mistakes over and over and just never seemed to gain any wisdom. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." Recognizing that you lack all the wisdom you need is step one. And then praying for wisdom is step two. And then learning from your experiences and your mistakes, from your journey, and from other people is step three in becoming a wise person. So, here are some life lessons I'd like to pass along to you. Number one, when you don't know what to do, just take the next small step. You know, life is full of turning points, small and large ones, times when you have to make a decision and you're just not really sure about it. I'm not talking about black and white decisions that are clearly right or wrong, but other decisions like, should I look for a new job or not? Should I offer to give this person some money? Is it time to sell my house? Of course, prayer is our first order of business when we're faced with decisions, and it's always helpful to seek advice from trusted advisors. But I've often found that if I take the next small step and then see where that leads, I can usually tell whether it's the right thing or not. And sometimes I discover there really is no next small step. I would have to push and shove and maneuver to get to that next step. That's always a red flag for me that says, slow down. Make sure this is a good step to take. When I first believed God was leading me to begin this radio ministry 37 years ago now, after praying about it for a few months, I remember thinking, you've prayed about this for a long time now. Isn't it time for you to do something? So I made the first small step, which was a phone call that opened a door and began the process of beginning the Christian Working Woman program in August of 1984. As the Chinese proverb reminds us, every long journey begins with the first step. I think many people park out at the starting line, thinking about what they might do, wanting to do something, but because of fear or double-mindedness, they just never move. James says that a double-minded person is unstable in all her ways. Double-mindedness is that state of mind where we go back and forth and back and forth, but we never move forward. Reminds me of one of the Tater family members. You remember them, you know? Dick Tater is the father, but the one I'm thinking about is Hezzy Tater. Hezzy always intends to do something, but she hesitates and never takes the first step. You really don't want to be a hesitator, so don't be afraid to take the first step and see where it leads. Life lesson number two, if you will live in today rather than yesterday or tomorrow, you can make it. Jesus said, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Most of our stress and depression comes because we live either in the past with regrets and anger, or we live in fear of the future. God gives us the strength to cope with today, but we keep adding on the past and the future and wonder why we can't make it. You know, yesterday's gone. You can't change it. You can't make it better. In Isaiah 43, the Lord said, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing." If you continually dwell on the past, you'll miss the new thing God wants to do for you. Yesterday's over. Let it go. And tomorrow just never comes. Today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. Fear of the future will absolutely stop you from the good things God has for you. So pray daily that you will live in today, and then you'll have the strength to make it through. It's a matter of changing your attitude and your thought patterns. When we're worrying, it's usually because our thoughts are out of control. I've written a book about that called Think About What You Think About, because long ago, I began to realize that I had to learn to bring my thoughts under control. I have to consciously and intentionally monitor my thoughts and recognize when they're going where they shouldn't go, and then stop them, change them. When you're living in yesterday or tomorrow, you're often allowing your thoughts to go where they should not go. Life lesson number 3, pay off your credit cards every month. Financial troubles affect every area of our lives, and most people's financial troubles begin with that plastic credit card. The credit card companies make it easier and easier for you to get a card, and then they do everything to encourage you to use it, and then just pay the minimum each month. That is a recipe for financial disaster. No doubt some of you are in financial trouble now because you've got so much credit card debt. What do you do? Well, first, stop using that credit card. If you're in credit card trouble, make yourself pay cash for what you buy, and you're going to be amazed at how much more frugal you will be. We get so used to pulling out that credit card, it just seems so easy, and then the bill comes at the end of the month, and our eyes pop out when we see how much we owe, right? Look at where your money is going and eliminate those things you don't absolutely have to have. Most of us have a very poor idea of just where our money goes. A good exercise is to keep track of every nickel you spend for a couple of weeks or a month. Just write it down and add it up. You may be really shocked to see how much you spend on stuff you don't have to have. And then stop buying things you really don't need until you've paid off those credit cards. And believe me, we all need a lot less than we think we do. Credit cards are convenient, especially for travel, but I've had a rule for years that I must pay off my credit card bill every month. I just refuse to pay their interest, and that puts controls on what I spend. One of the biggest favors you can do for yourself is to wipe out that credit card debt and then pay it off in full every month. Here's life lesson number 4. Save something from every paycheck. Frankly, I have not followed this principle all my life. I wish I had. But it's never too late, and I practice this faithfully now. The secret is to have money taken out of your paycheck or your checking account every month before you see it. I don't care how small it is. Make yourself start the habit of saving some money out of every paycheck and then put that money in an account that you don't touch. Just forget that it's there. Financial experts tell us we should have 6 months of expenses saved up for emergencies. Now, I know it will take you a while to get there, but you'll never get there if you don't start. So make yourself begin with your next paycheck to save some money, and teach this principle to your children. Of course, giving to God is the first thing we should do with our paychecks. He should get the first fruits of everything He has given to us. And 10% is a good standard to use. You know, the Bible has more to say about money than almost any other topic. That's because where our money is indicates where our heart is. I promise you, if you will pray about this and get serious about getting your financial house in order, you're going to be so glad you did. It will take so much stress and strain out of your life, you won't believe it. So I encourage you to do it. Life lesson number 5, don't take yourself so seriously. No one else does. You know, I often remind myself that people are not thinking about me nearly as much as I think they're thinking about me. Isn't it true that we often put ourselves under unnecessary stress by just taking ourselves too seriously? We worry about what others will think of us, and that can become an obsession. What others think about you is not your business, really, is it? So just let it go. Here's the secret. Make it your passion to care very much about what God thinks about you. Pray daily that God will grow you into the mature Christian He wants you to be. Let God's Word reveal areas in your life that need changing, and then by God's grace, work on them. Care very much about what God thinks about you. But stop worrying about what others think about you. Stop imagining what they're thinking or saying. First of all, you'll never please everyone, no matter how hard you try. And secondly, have you ever thought about how wrong it is to care more about what other people think of you than you do about what God thinks about you? Remember, it's not all about you. It's all about God and what He wants to do with your life. So just don't take yourself so seriously. Also, it's really important to learn to laugh at yourself. I've discovered that when I can make a joke on myself, it relieves the tension in a situation. I remember once showing up for a speaking engagement at a church with two different shoes on. Don't ask me how I did that. I have no idea. Except they looked, I guess, somewhat alike. But they were two different colors and different shoes. I looked down and I realized it just before I was introduced to speak. And my first reaction was, how can I get out of here and get another pair of shoes in time to avoid looking so stupid? Of course, there wasn't time. So instead, I pointed out my mismatched shoes and made fun of myself, and everybody laughed, and it broke the ice, and everything was fine. I often find myself worrying about what I'm wearing. Did I wear this to church last Sunday? Does this look okay? You know, things like that. And I simply remind myself that if I can't remember what I wore, surely no one else can, and who cares if they do, right? Just let those things go. Don't take yourself so seriously because no one else really does. They're busy thinking about themselves, right? Well, there are 5 life lessons I pass on to you, hoping you'll benefit from some of the things I've learned along the way. I'll complete this next week with 10 more life lessons. There's a book in the Bible that's chocked full of life lessons, the book of Proverbs. I've often suggested that you read a chapter a day, and since there are 31 chapters, you'll read it through every month by reading the chapter that corresponds to the day of the month, right? So here are just a few nuggets from Proverbs that you should pay attention to. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint. Avoid a man who talks too much. Do not let your heart envy sinners. Reckless words pierce like a sword. Now, those are just a few I picked at random from the book of Proverbs. So try reading a chapter a day. I promise you will find life lessons there that will greatly benefit you. And I would say read it every month for several months. Well, I hope these life lessons have been helpful to you. They're things that I've learned in my life journey. And next week, I'll share with you some more life lessons.
Mary, what good practical lessons for each of us. And this is a message that would benefit many of us. You can find a copy of this devotional now on our website at christianworkingwoman.org. Also available is Mary's book that she mentioned, Think About What You Think About. You can find that and many other helpful resources on our website at christianworkingwoman.org. And don't forget that you can follow The Christian Working Woman on social media, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. I'm Julie Bastide, and you've been listening to Mary Lohman. Next week, she will give you the last 5 important life lessons. So join us then for The Christian Working Woman.